Oh yes, buddy. We made it, man. Jay Hunter. Hunter.
Bonjour, hi.
Oh, yeah. Remember I said learn the French, buddy? Okay, hey, welcome to No BS with SB, man. Jay Hunter, because in French, we've always forget the H. I would
Hunter.
Say Hunter.
So I'm a huge fan of languages now.
Okay.
Because I told you in July, next time you see me, I'm going to be speaking French.
Yes. Did you do something?
Oui.
What did you practice?
Oui.
What? yeah. Oui. It's you can go everywhere with oui.
I've started German. I've started Spanish, and didn't finish.
Yeah.
So I know a little bit. I can speak.
Cerveza.
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 Beer.
Por favor.
Por favor.
Gracias, amigo.
Gracias.
Una rengue. Narengue.
Mi amor.
Mi amor. Oh, yeah. So you're single, huh?
That's very much.
It's why I'm 12 years, I forgot mi amor. Hey, so man, I'm so pumped, man, because you know what? My goal is to present the best comic in Montreal, and I saw you at the Ethnic Show.
Yeah.
And I said, I would love to have you, and you said, I'm from Detroit.
Absolutely.
And you live in Detroit.
I live in Detroit.
So why are you here? What's happened?
Okay.
Are you lost?
I have fallen in love.
With Montreal?
With Montreal.
Or a girl?
Multiple. No. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna keep my love for Montreal, and I'm gonna keep myself open because I'm meeting a lot of cool people, a lot of good people. And I mean, is it safe to say there's a lot of beautiful women in Montreal?
It's very safe to say that.
I mean, it's
amazing. Yeah,
it's super
safe. I never went to Detroit, so I don't know. No. So, but let's go there. So, why you always came back here for real? Because Toronto is a great city too, no?
Absolutely. And so I try to do both because I want to say in June. Maybe May, June, I took my first trip to Ottawa and Montreal, and I didn't do any comedy.
Okay.
But I hooked up with, I want to say Vance. Michel.
Yeah.
And he was like...
Shout out Vance.
Yo, big time. And he...
You have the small comedy world.
Oh, he told me to come to his mic. He introduced me to so many other people.
Yeah.
And then after I met so many people,
yeah.
it spread. So I'm not going to say it's not the same way
in Detroit.
But it's easier here.
Yeah, but easier. But why you wake up a morning and said, let's go to Ottawa and after Montreal. I don't understand. This is what I want to know. You know what I mean?
It's exotic to me.
Okay, so you're in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And when did you know I would love to go to Ottawa and Montreal and Toronto? When did you know that? Ah, because you're right. I just remember Detroit is not too far from Ontario.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is it the first time you come here? Ottawa, you know the trip when you said I'm gonna go to Ottawa and Montreal was the first time in May, June.
Yes.
So
first time
who
ever.
Convinced you? Who said you should go there?
at the time, I was dating this girl. I was dating this girl, and she was a Chicago comic.
Okay.
And she has a lot of connections in, I want to say, in Ottawa a little bit.
Okay.
And she said she wanted to do a road trip.
Okay.
And so I said, why not?
Yeah.
I've only been to Toronto a couple of times.
Yeah.
I've been to Windsor multiple times. What's Ottawa? What's Montreal like?
Yeah.
So I took a road trip. And then I saw a comedy show. And then
What show you see?
It was...
You saw? In Ottawa, you said?
It was either...
Yacht?
No. It was a
bar.
An apartment show.
Apartment here in Montreal?
Yeah.
Oh, the Art Loft.
It was either the Art Loft or...
I just interviewed Quinn's.
Quinn is a...
He's amazing, yeah?
He is a maniac in the best sort of way.
I know. I said to him, like, he is in the business for only 3 years. I said, tabarnak. You work... So you have a romantic trip this June.
Yep.
And but why you fell in love with Montreal?
The connections.
Okay.
And I don't want to just stick with friendly, because of course.
In Detroit, people are friendly too.
Sort of.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it United States or Detroit? Because
Midwest. So.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you would receive a little. It would be different in California. Everyone's struggling. Everyone's trying to get to that next step, but they're also helping other individuals, and that's what I felt when I came to Montreal.
Yeah.
That's what I felt in Toronto and Montreal. In Ottawa, same thing, but they're just super nice, and it doesn't seem like they're
competitive. It's feel like fake. I said, why are they?
I don't understand. I think why the guy's so nice to me.
I think the guy's gay.
Yeah, like
because why you want to help me?
We made out for 5 minutes, but they were so nice.
So how did you respond when I said you want to do my podcast? You know, nobody do that in Detroit.
I almost did a backflip. Like that
was, and you're tall, man.
Listen, and I would have hurt myself. What? But I like your imaging. I like it's. How long have you been doing this?
7 years full time in English, and I would say 14, 15 years in French. And but I stopped. I don't do that in French anymore.
And how? Why not? No.
Because I focus on English.
English.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean?
English. Your opener with.
You know, I pay my rent.
You were like this
with my comedy. Think about that.
Yes, and so that just means you have honed your craft.
Yeah.
And you made a decision in English.
Yes.
And that shows you're strong at what you do.
Yeah.
You know,
passion
in English.
In English,
no accent.
No accent anymore. You know what I mean? No accent. Oh, you were there when
yes.
Wow.
So one,
and you understand
one. I love
because you're an American. You know.
Yes. Yes. I love that.
Wow. You understand the wow. I didn't know that.
The love that I received when I did that show.
Yeah.
And then seeing your set.
Yeah.
And.
Yeah.
The place erupted.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're my new.
Thanks, but you know, Canada, it's like that. You know, it's why I always want to be an American because the dream is there. You know.
Yeah.
And I realized the dream is not there anymore.
No, no.
You know, it's like when you go somewhere, they have a gold mine.
Yeah.
Okay, but it was 20 years ago.
20 years ago.
They find gold, not anymore.
But everyone still thinks go there to get the gold.
Exactly the same thing with Hollywood. I went there and I nothing is there. It's dead.
It's dead.
Everybody suck everything. I said a guy said a big star said, "You focus in your town, make more show.
Yep.
Then go there and just do one show a week because you're gonna get bumped with Joe Rogan, Bill Burr. You know what I mean? And if you're funny, somebody's gonna find you.
You have to create your own magic. Yeah. So you don't have to be in Hollywood and try and create magic.
No, not anymore.
Create magic here." And then wherever you go, create magic.
So it's why I said I'm going to start a podcast so everybody know who you are. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know Mike Meyer?
Mike, the actor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Wayne's World?
Yeah.
He said, stop, wait. Discover yourself.
Yes.
Stop waiting to get discovered.
Oh.
And I said, wow.
Absolutely.
And I said, he's right. And I start to do that.
Because that's the moneymaker. That's the thing that'll make money. You. Instead of searching for this next thing to do. You discover yourself.
Yeah, but.
And make yourself the moneymaker.
Yeah,
make
but
yourself the magic.
I have to be honest. It took me years. Because I didn't know that comedy, it's my life. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that I have to be one on, when I'm going to succeed is because I'm going to start to be myself on stage.
When did you
know
you,
what I mean?
When did you discover that?
When I said, fuck it.
Now, was that 2 years in?
No, it was when I started in English.
So you've been doing it 12 years before?
No. I would say 2000. I start my career I start in 2003.
Yep.
I quit. 3 years because I came back 2008 full time, so 2008 from now, so it's like 11 years in French.
When you came back in 2008, that's when you said fuck.
Yeah, no, I did not say fuck it in French.
Yeah,
no, I said fuck it in English in 2012.
Yes,
when I said, you know what?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. When I jump in English,
wow.
At the same time, I said
came back still doing it in French, but when you said, I'm going to do this in English, you said, fuck it. And you brought your personality onto the stage.
Yeah.
That's Cliff Knight. Shout out Cliff Knight.
Shout out to Cliff Knight.
He, the Toronto comic, great guy. Met him like 6 months ago. I just had another show, very random. When he saw me again, he said, bro, I've had a conversation with you. You have this strong personality. You're excited. You need to bring that to the stage. Forget what you write.
Yeah.
Let it pour out into that microphone. Yeah. Make these people love you. Because you can sit back and write a masterpiece.
Yeah.
But if you're just out there like, I walked into a bar the other day.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you give them that, and that's what you do. That's why I was sitting there just watching your show, and I was just like this. It was because it's that energy, and you make them love you.
I thought I have to be funny until to be myself and funny.
Yeah.
You know, when I watched Russell Peter, I don't know what I don't remember what he said on stage. I just remember this guy is funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Same thing with Jim Carrey, something with the people. I don't remember what Jim Carrey, but is him. I know him.
It's you created that attraction.
Yeah.
So they don't have to remember your jokes verbatim. They don't.
Yeah.
They don't remember maybe their favorites, but they will always just remember that, I like him.
So how long you do comedy, man?
Going on three and a half years.
Full time.
Full time, 6 months.
Okay, and before that you never do comedy?
Before that.
So, and how old are you?
38.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Never too late.
Never.
I learn English at 37 years old. I have five words in my head. Remember my number? 37 years old, man. I said, learn a language and after that, do comedy. It's impossible, man. But I did it. You know what I mean?
You did it.
When you put your mind to it.
Anything.
It's possible.
Anything is possible.
It's true.
And
so, do you have a brother, sister?
I have two older brothers, 11 and 10 and 11 years apart. So,
No sisters. So, this is the reason why you need attention, you think? In your family?
I grew up pretty decent. I got beat up just the right amount, you know.
Not too much.
Two older brothers, you know, they just a little bit.
Detroit, is it really rough?
Really rough.
Like they said?
It is.
Okay.
It is. And okay,
so you live in a rough neighbor?
I don't.
Okay.
So like when I grew up, I was right on the border. Like I grew up in a suburb that was on the border of
Ontario.
The hood.
Okay.
Now, I grew up, I knew how this was. Went to high school, joined the Navy, came back, worked professionally.
How long did you join the Navy?
6 years.
Okay, so let's go. I love. I want to know why you're a comedian, and the reason often is because you want to impress somebody. You know, and nobody do that for no reason. Is it your mother, father, your older brother?
Ever since I was a kid, I was a terrible student, but I was a class clown.
Okay.
So.
Like me. I always want to make something, disturb the class.
Some type of disruption, some type of attention. But when I got into, situations, it got me out of trouble. You know, I was getting picked on by this, dude and his older brother or whatever. And the second I, made the older dude laugh, the one that's always standing over, give me your money type thing. The second I made him laugh, dissolved. You know, you can diffuse situations with laughter. So. Once I, high school, just terrible student, always needed attention. In the military, you can't really do that.
So after high school, you decide to go?
Yep.
Why? Is it your father forced you?
I kind of had to. Because I...
Why
I,
you had... Because you would be the...
I barely graduated high school.
Obscure, like Star Wars, you're going to be in the obscure, you know what I mean?
No, but...
Because I went to the army too.
So, really?
Yes. You know why? Because at 17 years old, I knew I'm going to be a bad guy.
Absolutely.
And I forced myself.
Because you knew you were going to get the discipline. And that's exactly what I did.
So I went 1 year. I just did my rookie.
Yeah.
After that, I saw I'm not. They treat me like shit, you know.
Yep.
Because they want to break you.
And build
you
back
up. So they can do anything you want.
Yeah.
And I said, no, what's it? But I did that. And I said, fuck you after. Yeah. And I work in a video club.
Wait, what's a video club?
Video club, the cassette, Blockbuster.
Really?
Yeah. It's a big change.
So you went from structure, military to...
Yeah.
What are these movies like?
Exactly. Would you like to jerk off or you want a comedy? You know what I mean? No, it's true.
This video comes with its own tissue.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, but still, and that is the exact thing, because I knew...
Wow, you did that.
I knew I didn't have... If I would have hung out with the friends that I had before... Like, one of my friends, like, has already passed away or whatever. Like, you know, I mean, like, shot to death type thing. So, like, if I would have... Yeah, so, like, if I would have hung out with them...
It's very rough.
It was so fun. They were the funnest people, like, in my teenage years, the funnest people ever. And, like, I played a little basketball, okay. But, like, I...
You're tall, because people don't know.
6'6".
You're 6'6", man.
6'6". So, I hung out with this group. I was the one with the license and the car, playing basketball with them, packed about four dudes in my Geo Prism, and we would go around and we would play basketball. But this group of guys that I hung out with, they were rowdy. They would go places just to fight. I wasn't the fighter. I was the funny guy.
They play basketball to fight.
Basketball and fighting. So just that was their entire life.
Let's make a little bit pause, okay? Just on the 6'6", look.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's not the ultimate goal to be a basketball player, but I think it's L.
Oh yeah.
So why you did not? It was not a dream for you to make the to be a basketball player.
I was
6'6".
I was very. I'm talking my teenage years before the military.
Yeah.
I was very soft. So like soft. It was a phrase that we would use. I should have played football in high school because it would have made me tougher, to where I would have been a better basketball player.
Okay.
So me being tall, me being 6'6", I like to dribble a lot. So I would dribble and never, hey, go down low. Nope, dribble. You know, coaches don't like that. Coaches say, you do this, and you know, go in the post, you know, do this. And I wanted to.
Whoa, buddy. What did you order?
Caffeine is my
thank you so much.
Favorite
wow.
Meal.
Thank you so much. Merci. Make some noise, buddy.
Merci beaucoup.
Merci. You're very because here is the Peroni body. Did you know they make comedy here?
Where? Oh, yes. That's okay. One, yes.
Okay. So, shout out to Ali and Sid, man.
Sid,
you know Sid?
For
the ethnic show. Oh. Amazing guy. He's the brother of Sugar Sammy. Do you know Sugar Sammy?
I've never met Sugar Sammy.
He's a superstar, man.
I heard Sugar Sammy.
Same thing than Russell Peter, the charisma, you know?
Oh, and they're staple. Canadian state, like you just, but I'm around so much of this greatness, you know, so like I know that they do comedy here.
Yes.
I want to do comedy here.
You will.
So all I want to do, I want to be around the people. I want to do your podcast. I want to hang around Sid more.
Exactly.
I want to
Montreal soon, eh? You have no choice.
If.
It's so far. How long is it a 12-hour drive?
Oh, no. If you drive like me. Nine hours tops, you know, like that. No, so it's a 10-hour drive, but like I make it in 9. I do everything in my power.
Some people, you know, they are born a girl inside, but they have a body of a man.
Exactly.
You are born American in Detroit. Who are your destiny is in Montreal.
No,
you know what I mean?
There's a Canadian inside of me trying to get out.
Listen, hey, I'm so happy you're here, man.
Absolutely. Cheers. Oh, so is this an addiction? I'm asking you, is this an addiction?
Yeah.
Because
I need that now. I know why my mother always, I remember when I go to school, okay, at 8, my bus was at 8:30.
Yeah.
And my mother at 8 said, get out. And she was like sitting on the table, because we are four,
uh-huh.
I have three sisters. And she have dry bread, you know, and you put the bread in the toaster.
Yeah.
And she wait until she put the peanut butter. So it was dry bread, peanut butter, and the coffee. And I was, what are you doing? I'm waiting so I can enjoy my life. And I did, because when you're young, you don't understand coffee.
You don't
coffee
even.
Suck, you know? It's nothing.
Yeah.
And I knew for her. It was the she started her day.
It was her time.
Exactly.
It was.
Yeah. So this is our time.
Man. Absolutely.
38 years old, buddy.
Yes.
I'm pumped to know the rest of your story, because you know what? Me, I love underdog. I love story like you. You know how many people I'm sure said to you, you're too old.
Absolutely.
It's too late.
Absolutely.
What you do? You know what I mean?
Everything that I'm going to try to do with comedy, because it's not just, you know, I'm not just here for the laughs. I actually have a plan.
Exactly.
Everything that I said I was going to try to do, all these other like Detroit, Metro Detroit area comics, they're saying, you can't do that. It's impossible. And the one thing I say to them was, they said flight wasn't impossible. You know?
Yeah.
They said flight was impossible. They said, what? We're going to be able to communicate with each other from one place to the other? Impossible.
Yeah.
Go to the moon? Impossible.
Yeah.
If you keep thinking this impossible mentality, but you're just going to get surprised. So you know what? I welcome the impossible, because I know...
Let's use that for it. It's a drive for you.
Oh, absolutely. Because before nothing existed, you know, like it has to be created. You know, so like it's always going to be non-existent until it's created.
Yeah.
So like it's not even tough anymore when people say that's impossible.
Yeah.
Because every single monumental thing that we've done, no one thought of it before.
And you know the funny part? They said it's impossible, but not about you, about them. Mm-hmm. But we forgot that for them it's impossible.
Exactly.
But they don't understand that it's your decision. They should say, oh, if it was me, I would say it's impossible.
Exactly.
But you, good luck. I think you're gonna. You know what I mean? But they don't.
It's all like a support type thing.
And it's not the 50. It's 2019. You know, 2020. You know how many people they said to someone it's impossible, and they proved the wrong. It's impossible to say it's impossible anymore. You know what I mean?
We're the only ones that are speaking that it's impossible to say impossible anymore.
Yeah,
because all these resources that we have.
I'm the proof. You're the proof.
We're sitting here.
Arnold Schwarzenegger
is the proof.
Look, this guy is from Ukraine. Is it Ukraine?
Romania.
Bodybuilding. I'm going to be a superstar.
Hey, couldn't speak the language. Came over here. Learned.
You're
going to
change your name. No. They're going to remember my name.
They're going to remember my name.
Yeah.
It may take them a while because it's long.
Now,
but they will remember my name.
Yeah.
Arnold. That's what.
Yeah.
I was like, look, get to the.
Go to the chopper.
Get to the chopper. Hey, Sully. Remember when I said I was going to kill you last? I lied. Whoa, Commando! Oh my, look!
Okay. Oh wait, Commando!
Now, man. But I could go crazy because he saw the impossible with working out and was like, "I'm gonna do it," and became a bodybuilder.
Yeah.
Oh, star in Hollywood! I'm gonna do it.
Yeah.
Like, governor? Will he? Governor of California? Of California?
Yeah.
California isn't small. How are you doing this? But he did it.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's all about. Because I can't even hear other people that say it's impossible.
Exactly.
It doesn't even make sense to me. The harder things are the actual task at hand. I bring up what I'm going to do, but it's just like light. They say, oh, well, that's going to be pretty, and I'm already tuning it out.
Yeah.
I don't have to convince them.
Yeah. Continue. No.
No. I'm going to keep talking.
No, you're right. I'm the producer.
We're going to green screen.
I'm the light man. I'm the sound man. Yeah. I'm not giving me a break, buddy. I want to be sure you're beautiful, buddy. So listen.
Yeah.
Detroit. High school, you know you're in a bad moon, bad path, so you decide to go to the army.
Yep.
And what army you went?
Okay, so I was in the Navy.
The Navy.
Okay, now check.
Why the Navy? What, you love boat?
Absolutely not.
Exactly my point.
I was on the biggest thing that they have, an aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
On the biggest thing that they have, and their ceilings were like 6'2".
Oh,
so I'm constantly, ducking.
Do you talk about that on stage?
Not yet.
You should.
I'm getting there.
Man, it's fucking funny.
Yeah, so, look, I got like...
Good morning, Bobby.
How are you doing today?
I'm going to take eggs and bacon.
Right, eggs and bacon. But there's ducking
constantly. Everywhere it's like that.
It's just made for short people or whatever. And I can't understand why a tall person would be on a sub.
Yeah.
Sub, it's even smaller. But it taught me so many different things. Now, here's the weird thing. Here's where I'm going to hopefully blow your mind. I took this exam to get into the military, and they said that I did well. You know, they said I did, like, real good.
Yeah.
And I'm looking around like, you sure you got the right person? And they asked me, do you want to take this other exam? and I take this for like these other classified jobs, and I took this other exam, and out of 80 points, they said I got a 78. I was like, I don't know who this guy is, but okay, I'll take it, you know? So I ended up operating a nuclear reactor on an aircraft carrier. So I learned nuclear power.
Wow.
And I'll tell the public, nuclear power is the hardest thing that I've ever done in my life.
Because it's,
except for this comedy. I think the comedy's going to be... But
is, I mean, because it's stress?
Oh, it's super technical.
Okay.
So much knowledge. So many different things I had to memorize and learn. I learned nuclear power. So it's just like system upon system upon system upon system. Now you got that. And then system upon system. And now you got that. And now you got that. Now connect all of them and then understand the whole thing and then operate it safely. It's very similar to like flying a plane. You have to learn all these different intricate details about
But physics. Oh, a guy like you... became this guy,
so
it, because you—it's
all
you,
these like steps.
Yeah, you're a deficit of attention. You know what I mean? Oh. So why you—why you're able to do that? This needs a lot of attention, like you said.
The military taught me a type of discipline.
Okay,
so
you did not start right away, like
no, yeah. So like once I learned that discipline,
you did your rookie formation.
Nuclear power was just a lot of information. Now it was hard, and I struggled through it. But I got through. Now, I learned the power grid system. Got through. Now it's comedy. I'm learning comedy, and like all these things that I struggled on, I got through because I'm applying the discipline that I got from the military. A lot of
people, no, exactly. You're right.
A lot of people are using trial and error, but they're not efficiently reviewing the process. Like I've learned how to process information quickly and then go back and make a change. So it's like you tell a joke and you see that there's a ha-ha right there. You know what I mean? Remember it up here, you know, because I don't have to go back and listen to too many of my sets, you know, unless I really want to, like, get the word right.
If you do 1 hour, you know?
Yeah, but it's like I see, like, a little ha-ha or a person that I really wanted that person
to react
that way.
Me, I see everything. I'm visualized. I don't know if you saw me. I try to, when I talk, maybe it's because I'm French and I'm not sure if you understand well.
Yeah.
I try to put image when I talk so you can see where I am.
See what you see.
Yes.
You have this screen that's playing in your head and you just want to say the right words so they see the same screen.
Exactly.
I've been learning that as I've been going on because you say the right words. You give them the right phrasing, the move, the head, pauses.
Yeah.
They start to see what you're seeing. Yeah. Like... You get them in the beginning. You get them. You're like, okay, you're on my team. I like you. Okay. Now, I'm like telling something that has a decent amount of words in it, and I'm pausing the right way, but I'm looking at their faces, and they're like this. They're listening. They're listening. You know, you can't have too many words unless they like you.
Yeah.
Once you get them like sitting there listening to you, they're seeing what you're saying.
Yeah.
So, like, oh.
Yep. So, okay, so 6 years, so you learn the comedy, it's the same than anything, it's the pattern, like, so, and you try again,
absolutely,
until you have a clap, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I'm like that too, you know?
And it's building, and I think everyone does the same process, but...
No,
they don't?
Oh, no, Quincy told me... that he can't repeat the same joke.
I gather that from Quinn.
You know what I mean? He always do new stuff. I said, whoa. But you never keep the old one? He said, I can't.
But he knows he should.
He knows he's...
Here's the magic with Quinn. Quinn, I think, learned early his voice and his persona. And now, whatever he talks about, it feels new. It feels like he's just... Now that I've learned that you're saying it is new, it is. It's new, and he's comfortable. And it's his character that he's exuding. So I'm just watching like, damn.
I know.
Was he really arrested? You know, like...
I know, but someday you have to pay your rent.
Absolutely.
So and that's when you know, have you to can, have that. You can't go do on in a corporate from 300 people... And said, you know what? I'm going to just talk about life.
No. Do you need to give them?
No, you know.
You need to have it in this package exactly like this and give it to them each time to where they go, ha, ha, ho, ho, ha.
Because it's not because you have a killer joke, they're going to laugh too.
Yeah.
This is why comedy is amazing because it never ends. You know what I mean? So let's go there. Let's go to 6 year. Why 6 year? Why you did you sign? Mm-hmm. You signed.
It was.
Is this a big mistake you made? Or for you
after after 3 years? Yeah. I had that same feeling that you had, where, okay, I got this discipline. I'm tired of getting shat on. I'm good, but I still have 3 more years to do.
Yeah, and it's rough mm-hmm. if you don't respect that.
And so, but I knew what I wanted to do right after. Like, yeah. I even got out a month early to go to school, and I went to school.
But see, it's not 6 years on a boat.
The first 2 years I was in, I had to learn nuclear power.
Damn, man.
I learned nuclear.
Man, you know me. You learned everything.
I learned how electricity worked. I didn't know how it worked.
Exactly.
Before. I thought you just plug it into the outlet and.
You learned how to live on a boat.
Yep.
Learned to live out with just men.
Yep. Well, it's mixed.
Okay. So, well, you know what I mean.
Yeah. But
authority like your shit.
Yeah.
You know how to make your bed. 45-degree corner.
45-degree
corner. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Always, yeah.
And they don't forget to close your lock.
Yeah.
Because they got you know what I mean?
So
many things to learn. How to love to make push-up? Do you love to make push-up?
Absolutely not. Not anymore.
You know how many push-up I made in 1 year, Tabanda?
Yeah, millions. No, but
exactly.
But I. Out of all my military service, like I miss all my friends that I made, and it was fun at some points and all these ports. But the one thing I miss was that first 3 months in boot camp, all that discipline and the yelling.
Yeah.
Because I understood it. You just do everything that they say.
Yes.
So
like Forrest Gump.
So yeah.
You know Forrest Gump? Did you see the movie?
Absolutely.
It's very easy. You yell and you say yes sir, yes sir.
Yes sir, good. You know. So I had the shine. My boots had the shine.
Me too.
The uniform crisp. The corners, because the lock always locked. I did things meticulous, and I was always that example.
Yeah.
Because. It made so much sense.
Yeah.
And I would just watch how other people would struggle.
Yeah.
You know, there's a scuff on their boot. There's this. It was that attention to detail that, like, it just made sense. The yelling.
I was not double-A'ing in my class. It was not me.
It wasn't?
In every platoons, in every group of 30, always a moron, fuck us.
Absolutely.
They make us too much push-up. It was not you?
Nope.
It was not me?
Nope. And even though I was doing push-ups, even though it sucked, I thought it was so fun.
Man, the guy in my... You remember the guy?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, in the movie, they call him Will. In the movie, it's a movie about...
A war movie?
Yes. I don't remember because I have in French. It's...
Wait, it's not... You.
The guy, everybody shit on him.
You're talking
and
about,
he killed everybody at the end and he killed himself. They call him Will, the Baleen.
Full Metal Jacket.
Yes, Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah. So
I was not this guy.
We had a guy just like
me
that.
Me too.
And
everybody.
Hey, and before I even saw Full Metal Jacket, I'm laughing at everyone, you know, whatever. But I'm thinking, he might snap.
Oh, but he's,
he might
because
snap.
The problem is when you...
Get in step, Kimmick. Come on, Kimmick. What you gonna do this time, Kimmick? What you gonna...
When you are in the army, no matter if you're right or not, if the guy struggles, you struggle.
You struggle.
Everybody struggles.
Because it's a team.
So exactly my point.
You have to pick them up.
This guy,
as a
this
team.
Moron. We have me. I was military on the ground. Guns. You it's Navy. Me it's.
Battlefield warfare.
Yeah, exactly.
So they taught you.
And it's green. Our hat. Is green.
Green, yeah.
And the other one is gray. He was always in the wrong. Listen, how stupid you are. Can you look that you don't know anybody here?
Yeah.
Look your hat. See.
Yeah.
Man, we made so much push-up because of him.
You just realize something looks different. Like, look at everyone. I would do that constantly. You just, when in the beginning, you would just kind of look to your left or look
and
to your right.
Tall.
Yeah.
You can't see everything.
Yeah. You look to your left, look to your right. Oh, we're in the wrong. You know, and you would have to like skate back and put on the right. But just have that in there. And there were so many people that they pushed through that didn't have that.
Yeah.
And it's scary. Because they even show you in those movies.
Yeah.
Those guys that make it through,
yeah.
that can't get their thing right, they get people killed or hurt.
Oh yeah, exactly my point. So 6 years, first 3 years amazing.
Yep.
The last 3 years are a little bit tough because you know you don't belong there.
Absolutely.
But you finish, you respect the. So what did you do when you came back home?
Went 9 days after I said goodbye to the Navy, I was a freshman in college, and I was a drama major because I wanted to be an actor.
Whoa, the next Will Smith.
Oh my God, he. Shout out to Will Smith.
Shout out to Will Smith with your YouTube channel.
Will Smith, you made my life so much easier with these ears. Because before
listen, I was like, is that a joke, this?
Not yet.
Wrote that about
that? No, that's...
This is funny, man.
It's been in my back pocket. Sorry, man.
Yeah, man.
It's been in my back pocket for so long because absolutely...
I have to watch your ear all the time. Yeah. I didn't know.
Hey, if it was 15 years ago, you'd like, look at those big ears. Ha! And then Will Smith came out with Ali and I Am Legend, and somehow all these movies he has to take his shirt off. They're like, ooh, your ears are sexy. I'm like, they're sexy. Thanks, Will Smith. You know, like, but
yeah,
thank you. And now it's like that. Ooh, your ear. I'm like, what? I became a sex symbol because of an actor.
Listen, I never. So you have an ear problem.
No.
But now I'm going to watch that and say, maybe.
Oh, I'm going to start doing things with my ears. The backstroke.
Okay, so 9 days after drama.
Yeah. So.
How long did you stay there?
I did.
And how old are you at the time? When you finished
25.
The year? 25?
Yeah.
Okay, so, wow. So
I was an old freshman.
I didn't know in the army you can go at 18.
Oh, yo, absolutely.
Okay, I thought like, it was 21.
No, you... There are people that joined at 17.
Wow.
But their parents had to like sign. Okay. So, but after I completed, I did one semester acting, but all that school that I did for the nuclear stuff, they transferred over. So I had a meeting and they were like, you can do your 4 years and, you know, drama degree, but it looks like we have all these technical credits from that nuclear stuff. How many credits? Oh, you'll have an associate's in electrical engineering, I'll take that. And then all I did was 2 more years and I got a bachelor's in electronic technology. Electrical engineering.
Do you use that now?
A little bit. It got me all of my other jobs previously.
So your day job pay well, huh?
Absolutely. So I have that to always lean back on. The military service and a degree, I can always, you know, like fall back on that. And then, all of that leads to where I am right now. I try and tell like silly stories, but I use a technical process when I do it.
Okay, so why did you realize movie's not for you, the drama and everything?
Because I didn't think I'd be able to rely on it for income.
Like so it was about the money.
Well, I mean, realistically speaking.
Yeah. No, I know. But the comedy, it's worse.
Hey, there aren't too many 6'6 actors out there. Will Smith is only 6'2", and he had to, you know, be that one tall guy actor. You know, The Rock, but he's typecast as, you know, big guy. Yeah. So, you know, he's always just that typecast. I think Jeff Goldblum. He might be super tall, but he was Jeff Goldblum, you know?
Okay.
But you can't name tall actors.
So you did not believe enough like you believe in yourself in comedy?
Oh, absolutely not. Yeah. Okay.
Is it a regret you have?
No.
Or it was not meant to be for
it
you?
It wasn't meant to be at that time.
Okay.
Like
because
I
you know what is fun with comedy?
Yeah.
The hope of the actor is still there now.
Yeah. Oh, because no, it's still there.
You know, you're an actor.
I can
see. But now you're going to play who you are.
Yeah. I was in a
funny guy.
Yeah, I was in a short film in Windsor.
Okay.
Like a short film, and I think it's going to be in the Windsor Film Festival next year.
Okay.
But when I eventually get it all together, I'm going to write scripts, act, comedy, and just have it. I just have to get it together. I'm trying to do voiceover.
So 25 years old, drama.
Yep.
How long you stay there? 2 years, you said?
1 year.
1 year, 26. So 26 to 36, because you have 38.
Yep.
So you started comedy 2 years ago.
Yep.
So 26, what did you do?
For all that time?
Yeah.
Worked. Worked and traveled. So I used to have another passion that didn't lead to anything.
It's to kill people?
I kill people.
It's been like you're a killer on the road.
A contractor. You know. Yeah, but listen, if I'm knocking on your door, that means you've done something wrong.
Or I order a pizza.
Never deliver pizza.
Because you have you're a bully. I would say a bully, a nurse.
In a good sense, because I had this active brain. So like all I did was just I worked regular jobs. And would travel for like music and movies.
What is regular job?
9 to 5.
Okay.
Corporate environment.
Yeah.
Just
the light.
A boss. Someone bugging you.
Okay. So why are you there?
It's that a military background and a electrical engineering.
You're too big.
It kept you in that realm of.
But you're too big.
Yeah.
So you know what I mean? Like you're too intelligent.
Yeah.
So you're screwed.
Yeah.
So I'm
screwed because it keeps you doing this stuff.
So
that
10 years, 10 year in an office of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So why at 36 years old, and I want to know where and when, you know? Okay. I want to see when did you say, you know, enough is enough, and I'm gonna do what I want to do. You know, because I don't know why.
This will probably be
why the 10 years. Did you try coming in the 10 year?
This is gonna be the first time that I've said this like out.
Okay.
Like openly.
So I have a scoop.
Oh no! This is the inside scoop, and whoever sees this will now know because I'm a very private person. So 3 years ago, I had like a life-threatening illness. I had like stage 4 cancer, and like I was legitimately on my deathbed. Like I had to have
okay. Whoa.
A bone marrow transfer.
No, okay. So you 10 years office.
Yep.
So you go see the doctor for a routine.
Yep.
The doctor said you're gonna die.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so like
this is why you said if I survive, I'm gonna start to do what I want to do.
Wow. Absolutely.
Wow. That was
where I wrote my first joke.
You're not joking, eh?
Absolutely.
You don't
not.
It's no, because it's why you don't wrote the book.
But here's the crazy thing.
It's amazing.
I've never talked about it on stage.
Okay.
I've never like I may have mentioned it once at like an open mic because I'm trying to you know that super personal comedy and trying to make it funny.
Yeah.
I haven't been because I don't know how to do that yet. Yeah. You know? But until I get the right timing, the right
exactly.
That's what I'm gonna do. But so I've always just kept it in this little compartment. But that was the driving force because I was like, "This, I need to say something, and if I make it through this, I'm gonna say it."
So let's go to the doctor. You sit there, and he remember what he said to you?
Oh yeah, no, it was. I think this is some of the first jokes. All right, so, the initial doctor visit, and they say some funny stuff came up on your scan. You know, you might have cancer.
In your brain?
No, I'm not my brain, but like scan the whole body.
Okay.
Like you might have cancer. And then they have to do this procedure to find out at what level of cancer it is. It's called a bone marrow biopsy. It's where they take a needle that's just, if you don't mind, it's about as small as this fucking thing. And they jab it into like your hip. And they have to jab in, go through the bone, get into the bone marrow, and then pull out a little bit, right?
Yeah.
So, this doctor, I would say a short female, super nice.
No, everybody's short.
Everybody's
don't need
short
to say short.
Okay. So just a female.
Yeah. Yes.
Now she's I'm laying down on my side. She's trying to get this needle inside of me, and she's doing that thing where her hand is shaking because she's struggling. And I don't know if this is to ease me. She was like, I just have to tell you, you have wonderful bone density. You have wonderful, I have healthy bones. And she's trying to, she's struggling. She gets leverage by putting her foot up on the thing. And she's now has all of her body weight in there. And the entire time I'm thinking, what if the needle goes all the way through me? You know, like, that look that you just made, that's about as painful as it was, you know?
Man.
Now, when that came back, that's the worst kind of cancer to have when it's in your bone marrow. Your bone marrow is what produces everything that's inside of you now. your blood cells get created in the bone marrow and then makes its way out into your system and circulates through. Your bone marrow creates all this stuff. They came back and they're like, yeah, your bone marrow is fucked, you know? So I had to get like all these different things. I had to get a transplant, all this
stuff. How long?
Man, I was like, I was isolated to a hospital for about 2-3 months.
Did you cry when she said that they no. No? Why?
I don't cry. Like I know how to cry on command. Like I taught myself from like
but acting. But did you ever cry in your life?
Legitimately, no.
Is it because of the army, of the way it's just the way they raise you?
So yeah, sort of the way that I'm wired. Because like I just don't have that emotional reaction.
I think because you're new in comedy.
Ooh,
let's talk about in 4 years about if you cry in comedy.
No, exactly.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
I remember one time where I cried.
Okay. It was comedy?
It was in a movie theater.
Okay, but it's not about the when they learned you that. When they said you're gonna die. Though.
No. Oh no.
Why? Because are you optimist?
Naive? I'm a realist.
You didn't believe?
I'm a realist.
Okay.
Because here's the reality of the situation. You're either gonna live or die. Just those two options.
I know, but
and you don't have control over either.
I know that, but
so
you're not ready to die.
No.
You know what I mean? No, nobody's is ever ready. No matter if they don't like life or not. You know?
Absolutely.
Is it this who force you to understand that if it's your life and you're gonna die or not? You know that. You have to change something in your life.
Absolutely.
About the way you think, you know?
Control what you can.
And do what you want to do.
And do what you want to do. Absolutely.
Okay.
Why would you ever do something you don't want to do?
You did that 10 years in a row.
You did that. I did that for so long. Yeah. Why would you sit down and listen to someone you don't want to listen to?
Because the school brainwashed us.
Don't.
They never said in school, think, do your stuff.
Do.
You know?
Do what you want to do and don't be around people that you don't like.
Yes.
Don't do things you don't like.
Exactly.
You know, you can't control everything. There are certain things that you kind of have
to
do. But if in a situation where you have a choice, say you sit down after a show and they're like, yeah, you had a great show, and they're just like a little drunk, and then they're starting to slap on you a little bit, and then they're starting to get real close talking to you, and you're like, oh man, thanks man, and you start to notice their breath is dog shit. You know, you're just, oh, I have to use the restroom. I'll see you know, you just depart from the situation. Why put yourself through that? Why sit there smelling dog shit? Thank you.
I mean, I'm not scared anymore when people talk to me. Thank you. No, I don't care.
You know,
I'm a little bit scared of that now. I don't need that anymore. What I mean? The approval.
Yeah.
I was there, you know.
Yeah.
I like the approval with the other comedian.
Oh, yeah.
But so why did you cry? Which movie you cried, Sam?
United. 93.
Okay.
So you know what that is.
Yeah, it's a fake movie, man.
No, well, fake movie.
Yeah.
Well, no.
It's about the 11th September.
Exactly.
The plane who crashed at Pittsburgh. That nothing.
Yep.
We can find
absolutely
nothing.
Because
no piece of the plane there.
Hey, because I
think about that. Do you?
Yeah,
you know?
Okay, I don't. But like I don't know too much about conspiracy theories. But I know.
I know
exactly
about
But
so you
that movie made me remember where I was.
Yes.
When this thing happened, I got a quick story for that.
You have a long story for that.
Well, it's
listen, it's a podcast for you about you.
Well, shit. Okay,
so you have a long story about
right.
that. Yeah.
Well,
no stress.
I was in the Navy, and it was during like my schooling. I was in upstate New York, and we all had these cubicles that we were studying in. You know, these cubicles. So it's like you scoot into the cubicle, you read these manuals, you go get another one, you read, you study, you do your notes. Yeah, you're not supposed to be really talking or whatever, but you could like lean back and make, you know, you could wave at other people and all that, or bump someone, you know, stuff like that. Relatively quiet environment. So we're sitting there studying, and someone comes over the announcement, which I've never heard an announcement before, and it says, a plane just crashed into the World Trade Center. And we all kind of like lean back and like laugh because we think someone grabbed the mic and is fucking around. So we're all like, they look back to see if I did it. You know what I mean?
Wow.
So
at the time, I thought it was a joke.
Like, yeah,
the guy was drunk.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Ooh, they didn't see the World Trade Center.
Yeah. Oh, whoops. You know what I mean? Yeah. So we all like we all had like this laugh and this snicker. And then what was it? 7 minutes later? Eight minutes later? Yeah, yeah. When they made the second one?
Yeah, another. Yeah.
Everyone got still, silent, and started looking at each other because they didn't know what was going to happen next.
Yeah.
10 minutes later, they evacuated us because where we were studying, it actually has a nuclear reactor there.
Yeah, but you're not in New York?
In New York. You're upstate New York. I was in upstate New York.
Okay, wow.
But they thought, they thought our site was a target. So they sent us all home. You know, made sure, and we didn't. We were off for like a week because the place where we were at has so much confidential material. It was a potential target. Blew my mind, because I was like, "What's a terrorist attack?" I'm just in the Navy, you know. What's a terrorist attack? It blew my mind. So when I watched that movie, it brought me all the way back, and they showed that footage because in the movie they showed the live footage. It just seemed like the plane hit kind of smacked me in the face a little bit. Because now I know, I knew what the aftermath was. My brother was living in Harlem when that happened.
Yeah, but you saw
my
live.
My brother was downtown when it happened.
I know, but you came back home. So you saw live the plane.
Yeah, well, in the movie.
No, in reality.
Yeah, but in reality,
you saw. The movie came 3 years later.
Yes, yes.
So,
but
why you really, really quiet? I want to...
At that movie? At the movie, it brought...
Remember the scene?
I remember the scene vividly because here's what the movie did. It didn't have a whole bunch of stars in it. They just had a whole bunch of people that aren't stars.
Yeah.
So the movie felt real.
Yeah.
So the air traffic controller is like, what's going on? Why is this plane not pulling up? It's getting real close to the... It felt so real. And when it just like happened... And then they were showing the blip getting closer, and then the blip disappeared. And everyone in there was like, what just happened?
So why are you crying?
It was, for in the U.S., like...
Everybody in North America, because
anyone in the military, it made them feel patriotic. It made them feel like they're there for a reason. Anytime I come across people that put on a uniform and actually care about what they do, because nowadays in the States, I don't have that much trust for, you know, police. You know, like I've seen way too much to where I'm just like, oh, police officer, I'm safe. I used to until the past 10 years, you know?
Yeah.
But
this is on a different subject.
A different subject.
Yeah.
Those people that put on a uniform, firefighters?
No. Military, why you cry? Why you cry?
Patriotism.
Patriotism, because you did the army at the time.
Yes,
the World Trade Center. It's 2001.
One, yep.
And
I saw that movie in 2000.
Yeah, but the army. It was before 2001.
Oh no, it was during. I was in that uniform.
Exactly. Okay.
And like, so it's like we were waiting to see what was next.
Yeah.
We wanted to, but we were still students. They couldn't just send students to deploy and all this other stuff. But
2001, you saw that live.
Yeah.
You saw the Pentagon, you saw the pits, you know what? So why you don't cry at the time? It's live on television.
It didn't even register while it happened.
Okay.
It's almost like people being in shock when it happened.
Do you remember the scene who make you cry in the movie?
Mm-hmm.
What scene it was?
It was showing the video footage of the plane, how it goes in, that little explosion on the other side, and it was surreal, because no one at the time has ever seen anything of that magnitude.
Okay,
it's such a huge plane, such a huge building.
You saw that at the movie theater?
In the movie theater, that scene that I've seen before.
Exactly.
But why? In the movie theater.
Is it a mix of other things in your life?
No, it's just the drama of the movie.
Wow.
So, I, the only things that can really, really move me are nostalgia or a movie that is done well.
But not if a doctor say you're going to die.
No.
It's weird, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
About that. You're gonna die, mister.
Yeah. I came to, but it's weird. The way my emotions work, like I am, I save them. No, I savor my emotions. So like I use my emotions.
Maybe you cried there. You didn't know at the time, huh? The bones was not there. Okay, so you have this news. You're optimist.
Realist.
Realist. Sorry, you're realist. You do everything. Mm-hmm. So why you succeed if every time you have cancer in the bones, people die? What's happened?
I definitely, I definitely have a strong will to live, you know, and I do everything that I need to do to keep, you know, balance my happiness and like surviving.
Yeah.
And then it's really just up to the treatment and, you know, luck or whatever it is.
Yeah.
If you make it.
So when the doctor said you will not die, did you cry?
Because
you don't cry.
No.
So but you were very happy. Remember the first thing you said to yourself after that? Like, I'm back?
I don't know. Happiness is weird for me.
Okay.
Because, like...
I think you lost all the innocence in the army, yeah?
Yeah, I was happy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but it wasn't like outwardly. Like, my parents were way more happy than I was.
Yeah, exactly. So, did you go back into your old routine?
Yeah.
How long did you come back in the shitty office?
Yeah.
Before, how long you?
About 6 months.
And so why, what's happened?
After I found out, you know, everything was going to be okay.
Yeah.
After I healed
go
from
back
it,
6 months.
I lost like 30, 40 pounds. I was this walking skeleton. I'm still not as big as I used to be.
But,
and then I get back because I wanted to get back to normal. So like, I don't describe a shitty office that bad because it was at least a normal routine. You know, and humans, we like our normal routines. Regardless of what it is, we like our normal routines. If you disrupt it, it's chaos. So you can have a normal routine where you're getting beat down by some goofy boss and it's just a terrible environment, but it's still your routine.
Yeah.
Similar to how your mother had a routine where it's like, hey, go to school.
I'm going to eat my peanut butter toast.
Hey. Because that was her moment, and then she got into her routine. And that is how we operate. You know, regardless of how someone wants to paint that picture, we operate in that sort of fashion. Comics operate in that fashion. Actors operate in that fashion. That's how we operate, you know? So I wanted to get back to normal because I wanted to feel normal again. It was, and I don't talk about it because that was just a moment in life where I didn't feel normal. You know, physically didn't feel normal, and mentally I didn't feel normal. So I wanted to get both physically back, mentally back.
Yeah.
That's what I did. But then the entire time I was like writing jokes because I knew my next goal is I have something to say and I want to, my platform is going to be through comedy.
So what? So how did you know that? Where you are and are you in the office and the...
All that epiphany where
is
I...
Is it
where
when you're going to die?
Yeah.
You start to...
Exactly.
So you're,
absolutely.
You're a realistic optimist because realistic... It's your reality. But you're optimist because it's like, okay, if I survive, I'm gonna start to do comedy. You know what I mean? You start to dream about something, you start to visualize.
If that's what you consider optimist, then that's
I don't know because it's my it's more
it's you your gonna
give me the good term, you know, about that because you start to write joke when you're sick. During the process you wrote joke.
Look, I was writing jokes. Okay, so the same time of me writing jokes and me being in the hospital bed, I was also planning who was going to get these if I didn't make it. You
like
know what
it's,
I mean?
Like it's gold.
No, but it was. So it wasn't just jokes. I also have notebooks of
of
rhymes. I have notebooks of stories. Like, throughout the entire time, in the Navy.
So it's more than realistic.
I have all these notebooks. I have a whole bunch. And it's my thoughts. And it's about how I it's eventually going to be a book. I'm getting there.
Yeah.
But that whole time, I'm like, I'm still going to chronicle this stuff because if I don't make it,
it's there.
I'm going to give it to...
We chronicle now.
Yeah, it's chronicle.
You just rewatch this.
Yeah.
You know, because...
But I had a person that I was going to give it to.
Okay.
Like my best friend's nephew. And he's basically my nephew. 15 years old. I was going to give it all to him because he and I, at his young age now...
So you already know where...
Because I was planning for either this or this.
Wow.
Because it's only the simple choice of you either live or you die.
This give you that.
What?
This
mentality?
Yeah. Die or not?
Me.
Okay. Before the army, after the army, or when?
During the army. Because okay. everything, that discipline that I've achieved,
yeah.
I built everything on top of that to where my decision-making process, my ability to take emotions out of things, my mechanical thinking at times, my ways to hone my personality to get what I need necessary in life, all these things that I've learned have led up to that moment where I'm not gonna, hey, you're gonna die. I wasn't gonna break down or anything.
Okay.
I would just start doing. Like, everything led up to do what you want to do. Control the things that you can control.
I know, but at the same, it's easy to say that when the brain is always negative.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's easy to pretend.
Oh, no, I used to be a huge pessimist. I didn't say that before.
Okay,
exactly. My military time, up until college, I was a pessimist.
Okay.
Like, I mean, I was like thinking bad because when good things happen, it's a little plus because I was thinking bad. I thought the worst of a lot of things. But it helped me become more realistic because I don't like overly optimistic.
I know, but when you knew you're going to survive, I don't want to be spiritual, but did you say, okay, it was a sign of something? Do you take this event to realize that I know it's you live or you die, but at the same time it's like a voice who said life it's not granted. You know, you have to you know is it a clap in your face like wake up, man? Or it's just for you because for you you're just a part of the life, or you realize that I'm happy to get that. Survive, and now I'm more grateful about life. You know what I mean?
A combination
because
of both.
Because when you're pessimist,
a combination
don't appreciate.
Of both. I appreciate regular days. I don't appreciate the highs and the lows. I just appreciate days. So I've gained an appreciation, a spiritual appreciation of just enjoying life and people and just smelling the roses. You know, but then I'm also just normal. Because I don't make big deals out of things.
Yeah.
So I always have this appreciation.
Yeah.
And I don't need a special day. I don't remember the day that I was, you know, got the bill of health. I don't celebrate that anniversary or anything. So I just continually move through.
Yeah, but I have a big accident, you know.
Hmm?
And every time I'm angry or pissed off about stupid shit, I remind myself where I was.
Yep, and where
and
you
I
were.
Say, oh... Shut the fuck up, man.
Right? Yep.
Focus. I said, oh, you're right. I see. Because we live in a great era.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
And we have everything. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Everything.
At the same time, we have nothing because we are everybody's equal, you know? If somebody's poor in Africa or... He will not understand why you're sad.
Exactly.
Because, you know, I have everything. You know what I mean?
You have everything and nothing, and it's up to you what you create.
Exactly.
What you motivate. Because there's nothing holding you back except for yourself.
Exactly.
Everything is at your fingertips.
Yes.
It's not given to you. You have to climb for it.
Yes.
You know? And I also have another phrase that I really love. Everyone has their own personal hell. So there's this millionaire that they are personally just... They have to... One day, their car broke down and they had to walk through the hood. That could be their own hell. To where I wake up the next morning and I can't pay my bills. That's my own personal hell. And then there's someone in Africa that, you know, they buried their father and their mother is sick, you know, from Ebola or something. That's their you know, and everyone, because I can't go and say that's the worst. I'm not one to judge because everyone has their own personal, I'm not going to make it through this. I don't know what to do. You know, some basic white girl goes into Starbucks and they don't have pumpkin spice latte.
Yeah, exactly my point.
Yeah, but and like
she have everything, but in her head she had nothing.
Her head. So I could laugh at her. I could be like, ha ha ha. But then I also know that could be real for her. Yeah, you know.
And it, yeah, but fuck I, them, fuck
I,
her.
I will absolutely laugh deserve, yeah. every single time.
Okay, so let's go there. So you wrote some stuff, some ideas, some thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So when did you said, okay, I'm gonna try comedy? Remember the day, your first show?
I do. The first time, it was an open mic at the biggest comedy club in
Detroit.
In Michigan. Yeah, in Detroit.
What is the name?
Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle.
Mark
Ridley's Comedy Castle.
Mark
Shout
Ridley's
out to Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle.
Comedy
Royal Oak. Hey. No, so it's
first show ever.
First time I ever just wrote things down. I'm like, hey, I'm gonna give this a shot. Wow.
Okay, so did you have to send an email? You have to call to have a spot?
You have to call the week prior.
Okay.
So if it's a Wednesday show, you have to call the Wednesday before. And then they'll let you know if you're on the show.
So you got the show.
Yep.
So how was the week? Remember the feeling like
I don't get nervous. I don't get whatever. All I did was I just want to make sure I remembered what I was going to say.
Okay.
So
the week was great. So let's go.
No. Yeah.
Let's go to the night.
Yeah.
You arrived there.
Yep.
Is it the first time you go at this club?
First time I was at the club.
So you never studied?
I've never heard what my voice sounds like.
In a mic.
Wow.
Yep. But you're confident.
The military, at 23,
yeah.
I had all the confidence I needed.
So remember where you were in the lineup?
Hmm?
Where you were?
Six.
Remember the host?
Hmm?
What is the name? You remember the name of the host?
No, I don't. Because I just remember I remember because I have a festival submission video at that club during, you know, after I've done it after some time. And I remember that host because I've been submitting this video.
Oh, okay.
And I've gotten into I've gotten into a festival because of the video. But
six, the first five, remember if they kill or bomb?
Nope.
You don't know.
Because I was in the green room.
Okay, chilling?
Chilling. Now, I was lightly looking over, you know, my nose. Lightly.
Yeah.
Because I had no idea.
Exactly.
Now, I stepped on stage.
No, let me go there. My cherry on the cake.
Oh.
This is why I do this podcast.
Yes.
I do the podcast because I want the people know who you are. But for me, this is the weight. I want to know because I think this is the most important reason why you're here today.
Absolutely.
Because of the first show.
Absolutely.
So you went there so confident. Take lightly your notes. Blah, 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 okay.
Comfortable,
yeah.
Comfortable.
Realistic.
Because I didn't go... I wasn't confident to the point where I knew... how it was gonna
No.
I was just comfortable.
Yeah, so you did not study like you are in life you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You're methodic, you know. Mm-hmm. You went there, when the guy said your name, remember the feeling? Mm-hmm. Or nothing, still nothing?
Nothing.
So you walk there, everything is great?
I may have been numb. I was too comfortable.
Exactly.
Because I don't remember.
Yeah, you cocky. I would say cocky.
Oh yeah. Maybe.
So you took the mic.
Yep.
And you know, just you in life, look. Just you. No comedian. No army suit. Look. Just you walking on. People are impressed. Because you're tall.
I hope so.
You know,
so.
It's more like tall.
Hey,
you live with you, so hey, you don't know.
Exactly.
It's easy for you to say, I don't know, because you watch people like that all the time. Me, I'm like that.
And I will never understand the feeling.
Until you saw LeBron James,
for last, awkwardly met Blake Griffin.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. I was about to body slam. No, I'm kidding.
Okay, so go.
Yeah.
So you walk, you take the mic. Remember what you when you take the mic? Did you take the mic? No, you keep the mic there.
It was on the mic stand.
So you do that? I wore your body. Because the mic is
absolutely
wow. Because
and it wasn't hello. It was just like this. It was like this. I remember this vividly. So I wasn't that numb. Never heard my voice before, right?
Yeah.
So I walk up to the mic on the mic stand, just like this. Absolutely, I will just like this, and I go, Hello. Now, in milliseconds, I processed, oh shit. Like, oh shit, I'm not talking to someone one-on-one. It's silence.
You remember how many people in this, how many people in the crowd?
About 60.
Six was the big open mic.
Oh,
it's fun.
It's the thing.
It's not 10 people.
No,
okay.
No.
It
may have been 75. Like,
So you said hello?
Hello. And I was like, oh shit, that's what my voice sounds like. But then I snapped right into material. Now, here's the other thing that happened right away. Said hello, that's what my voice sounds like. Then there was this thing that said, okay, now you need to start speaking. Wait, do you remember what you were supposed to say? Oh, you don't? Fuck it, start talking to him. Forgot every single one of my jokes, and I just started talking.
Talking about what?
Military. I lightly knew some jokes. Like, I forgot all the words that I was supposed to say.
Do you start to know you got...
Oh, I was shooting from the hip.
You start to feel that?
Mm-hmm.
You start to... Bombing?
No.
You don't know?
It wasn't. Whatever I was talking about worked.
Really?
But it's because...
Is it if we rewatch it, I'm going to say... it was not your good perception.
Look, it wasn't bomb, okay. But it wasn't kill. It was lovely. It was just lovely in the middle. I remember what got laughs, you know. But the other thing that was weird about it is, I went over my time about 60 seconds because
you never saw the red light.
Never saw the red light. There's a door that slides or whatever.
Say, get the fuck out.
It was like this. Okay, that's been my time, you know, but. Because that just meant the light was flashing and I just went over time.
Okay.
But I went over my time because I wasn't on script. I was telling a goofy military story.
Do you remember if people laugh about that?
Mm-hmm.
Was giggle?
Yeah, and the thing, I wouldn't even be able to tell you what the joke was.
Okay, yeah.
There was this one where it was, I was retelling a joke that someone told me. You know, it was this white guy, you know, came up to me, just real bold or whatever, and looked directly in my eyes. He was like, why don't black people like aspirin? And I was like, I don't know why. He goes, because it's white, it works, and you have to pick cotton to get at it. Now, I'm dying. I'm just thinking, because I just thought it was so hilarious. And I'm going, because I didn't know if I'm supposed to be mad or not, you know? And I basically said that, and then I went into some silly joke about, you know, because I, you know what? I'm not offended by that, because he's right. I would hate to pick cotton. My fingers are too big. You know, and I just remember I went into that, and I'm just shooting from the hip. I didn't write that as a joke. I didn't even know what I didn't know. So I'm talking. Then I start describing other Navy people that I was with. It's one big guy, and he always just had these awkward jokes. You know, hey, man, what's the best thing about 25-year-olds? I don't know. There's 20 of them. Always telling jokes like that.
Yeah.
And so, like, and that's all I did. I just was like, this happened. It worked. And I went over my time.
So you went off stage. How you feel?
Oh, I wanted to die.
Really?
Because I forgot my lines.
Not because you bombed.
I had no idea. I know there were chuckles.
But
it was not silence.
Yeah.
And so it was...
Did you have some commentary about other comics?
Nope.
You did not ask to anybody?
Oh, I left so quick. I left so quick because I was so hard on myself for forgetting my lines.
Oh.
And I told myself, I'm never going to be unprepared again, ever touching the stage.
Okay, so you go home. When is the next show?
Probably a month later.
But, so you wait a lot, huh?
A month later, and it was in Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay.
Because I didn't want to be, in my mind, I don't want to be open micing around people that are going to see me and know me. I need to practice.
Okay.
So I was going to open mics two and a half hours.
You remember the open mic in Cleveland?
I remember the first time that I had my name on a showcase.
No, but the second show, you said it's in Cleveland?
Second show? It was probably like a Tuesday open mic in
Cleveland.
In Cleveland.
You don't remember where?
It was a TikTok tavern.
TikTok Tavern.
Shout out to Steve Mers.
Shout out to Steve.
I love you. But yeah.
Did you, so you're prepared?
Mm-hmm.
People are there?
Yep.
What's happened?
I tell jokes, and there were a couple of 5, 6, 7, you know, year comics, and they gave me like some feedback on a couple of jokes. I remember I made.
I mean, did you kill? Did you did well? Did you bomb?
I did. The thing is, I've only.
Did you feel comfortable? Did you remember your line?
Now I'm at a place where I can fill the time if I forget something.
Yeah.
But back then, I always knew where I was going to go because I was never going to recreate that. Now, I was always seemingly comfortable. Everyone would always come up to me, man, what have you been doing? You know, because I'm always comfortable when I'm...
You're very comfortable now, on stage.
I have only bombed once. And I mean, real legit bomb, and it made an impression on me. And it was the only time that I had a bomb feeling where it was just like, oh, I got to leave.
Are you scared to bomb?
No.
So why you said you just bombed once in 3 years? It's impossible.
No, it isn't.
You know what I mean?
I have other ways to back up how it works in my head. So
because listen, tonight I can go and open mic. You're gonna bomb.
Which one?
And it's not because you're not funny. It's because the way the shitty bar is.
Where?
Anywhere. You know what? You know McLean.
I've.
Make the Grumpy's. Did you do the Grumpy's?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've done.
So you bomb. But you know what?
We need to go because I have a technique.
No, man. My point is bombing. It's the way to tell you that you have something, but the joke is not a killer. You know what I mean? It's you practice.
No,
because bombing for real, the real bombing is if you go to a comedy club where people pay and they don't laugh, you bomb.
Not only they don't laugh, they boo, you suck my... Now,
nobody did that to you?
No. Okay. But what I'm saying is, like, will it happen? Oh, of course. You know, am I scared of it? Absolutely not. I'm just being factual when I say I've bombed only once and... Here's where it was.
Okay.
In Detroit, there's this classic, iconic place. It's a black show because it's normally a jazz club, and it's Baker's. Shout out to Baker's. You know,
Baker's Mayfield.
Was it
Cleveland?
No.
Okay, I'm wrong. So.
Baker. Ooh, those Detroit people there. Cleveland. No, but
Detroit are great this year. The Lions are amazing this year.
Yeah, they're doing pretty well. Yeah. Fuck them. No.
So jazz,
yeah. So
black club.
Now, if everyone going up before me, they're like, you know, N-word, this. Can we curse on this? Can I curse? Yeah.
No, they don't say any N-words.
I'm saying, but N-word, B, this, and they're loud. Because they had to you had to their attention. And they're all sitting there, and they're like, ha 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 ha. All the people before. Now, what I didn't know was they don't want anybody with low energy. So like, hey, how's it going? You know, and that's how I was because that was my material at the time. And it's like silent. And then I said something and somebody said, boy, it must be tough up there. And I was like, I go, you're right. You know, because what are you going to do? I was like, kept going. And then I finally like, thank you, you know, for listening to me. You guys have been great. You know, peace. And you know, it was the most paltry little get this dude off the stage type thing.
Wow.
And I mean, I was set up, but regardless, I walked outside. My dude was there. He was like, and I was like, and then like 10 minutes passed and the feeling passed. It just went.
You never said, I quit?
Oh, no.
Never? Mm. Never in your mind? Because you wait a long time after that. Because you said, I'm in comedy for 3 years, but only 6 months full time when we start the podcast.
Yeah.
So why?
Why 6 months?
No, why you take time before to jump? Is it because of this kind of show?
Safety and security. Like, I need to set myself up. The military taught me that. Like, I don't Geronimo. You know, I don't just blindly jump into really anything. And even if someone tries to tell me, hey, for comedy, you have to do that. Sorry. I don't have to do anything that you say.
Yeah, but you're 38 years old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You're not scared You don't. Time for you. It's
not. I have safety nets. I don't like. There's
exactly my point. If you have safety nets, yeah, why you don't jump?
It. You have safety nets when you walk a tightrope. Your goal is just to get to the other side. You don't just in the middle go, and then jump. You get to the other side. So the safety net's going to be there. You don't use the safety nets unless it's an emergency. So I don't jump into the safety nets.
Is it because you don't believe enough in yourself?
No, it's not absolutely not. You have to have a game plan before you do anything. I don't believe in just blindly and then fighting for whatever.
Okay.
You know, I will plan my way into success. And people will tell you, you could tell me, anyone can tell me, you can't do that. And I'm just going to say,
so let's go there. We'll so what see. Is your plan? 6 month full time now.
Yeah.
What is your plan now?
My plan.
You know, like,
yeah, no,
small, medium, bigger goal.
Okay, so
I want to know your biggest secret goal. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like if people say, win an Oscar, what? You know what I mean? Your goal.
My biggest goal is to
be the next Will Smith?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
My absolute end game goal is to have a platform of listeners, active listeners, people that actually know and like me, and I use this platform to, quote, educate through comedy, to change the social stigma that the United States has. That's my goal. My goal is to get in there and just kind of work it the way that I see it, because I feel like there's some issues there and there's things that need to be addressed.
Yeah.
There needs to be a lot more honesty and all these other things. I'm going to attack that. Now, this is going to be some time. I know it's big. Everything I'm doing is leading up to this. My medium goal is...
Yeah, but just go back here. This, the biggest goal is to have what you said?
A platform.
A platform like what? Like CNN?
No, just enough.
Like a TV show?
Sugar Sammy. He has a platform.
Okay.
People love him. And whatever he wants to talk about, they're going to listen. That's what I'm talking about. So whatever it takes to get to that, where you have people...
And
where,
talk about the reality of the
You say my state. Name, and they go, oh yeah... If I need to get to that point, because those people that will come and listen, you know, and I'm gonna try and draw from
you want to be a star.
You can call it a star if you want.
Of meaning.
I just need a platform because I have things to say.
Exactly.
Yep.
Okay. Medium goal.
I have two projects that are in the works. One of them is a project to where I'm gonna submit it to Just for Laughs either this coming up year. This or next year.
Okay.
Is
it secret? Can you explain a little bit what is that?
I can give you because it's not something that needs to be secret, but it's going to be a traveling show.
Traveling show,
and it's going to bring awareness to and uplift people that put on a uniform. So from funny veterans, military members.
Wow.
Police, firefighters, people that put on a uniform and serve the people. And I want to take away, I just want them to know that people that put on a uniform are also funny and they're also people too. And I want these people to come out and tell their stories. I'm going to do it through Michigan. And I eventually want to take it to Texas, because Texas, they're big on people that put on uniforms. And I want this show. And I'm going to record it. I'm going to make a documentary out of it and everything.
Wow.
And I want it to uplift, you know, like a stigma for veterans.
Yes.
You know, because they think everyone has PTSD, or, you know, they want to thank you for your service, but then they want to stay away from you.
Yeah.
I want to, you know, because they love people in uniform.
It's too hard. You know, when he complained about, like, 20 years ago, it's cops die. And the you know, and they still wait about the money.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. You know what I mean?
So
and it's fun, because you're right. It's like a, you know, they do often a tour with comedian for the army.
Yep.
You know, to change.
Yeah.
So did you see comedy when you were in the Navy? Never saw a show there.
No. Okay. Because those traveling shows, the USO tours. Were for Army and Marines, those guys that were really in the trenches.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you, for the most part, you they need that.
Yeah.
They need.
Oh, Marines. Yeah, yeah.
Now, it isn't that bad on a ship. A ship that's confined, it's the same people that you see all the
time.
But it's still a ship, and you still got heat and showers and food.
Yeah.
People that are deployed out in there in the Middle East, these guys.
So you're gonna do coming in on boat soon. with your concept.
I don't even believe in Nakamura, but yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But this concept isn't just for military. This is just for people.
Yeah.
Because I need people to get this awareness.
Yeah.
And eventually, I'll be able to put the documentary under my belt.
Yeah.
I want to be able to take this concept, bring it to Just for Laughs, and then have a Just for Laughs show, and bring anyone from Canada that put on a uniform that is funny.
Yeah.
And just have this thing. I just want to host it, and I want to. Hey, everyone. These are the people that sacrifice themselves for you.
Do you have a YouTube channel now?
I do.
So what is the name of your YouTube channel?
Oh, man.
You don't remember?
No, I haven't been able to put time and effort into it.
Okay, so let me know after. We're going to put in the description in case absolutely. You want people follow you,
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
And so what is your main goal now? What is it, 6 months full time?
Well, my main goal is to
move to Montreal?
Can I stay with you? No, no, can I?
You're too tall, tabarnak. My couch is like that. Your leg's gonna be like that. Hey, Bobby, I see your place suck.
Just kicking. You know what I mean? No, so like my next goal right now is to want to get off the ground a couple of show. No,
don't. How much minutes you have? Like, you like on stage? You're comfortable. How much time you have? You're comfortable. You know what I mean?
20 minutes.
20 minutes, look, if somebody wants to hire you, they are you 20 minutes, it's killer funny.
Absolutely.
Wow.
But that's just what I was talking about before about the bombing thing.
Yeah.
I learned a quick lesson of
how to not bomb again.
How to read a crowd.
Yeah.
And adjust.
Yeah.
So like, why do I keep going back to the military? But it's being
no, able no, to you know, it's
adjust fire.
Exactly.
Adjust fire.
Yeah.
So like, I will have a set list. I will have something I want to stick to. But this is the other thing I wanted to tell you.
You cry in comedy.
No, I will cry on stage on command if I need to get laughs. No. So here's the other thing that I did after I did that open mic.
Okay.
I went to an open improv. It wasn't really a class, it was a show. So they had a professional show, and then you put your name in a bucket, and the people that put their name in a bucket perform for the audience. So I did that.
After you bomb at the black...
No, and after the bomb, after the first time I did a mic, after the first time I did an open mic, I did improv.
When you forgot your stuff.
Yeah.
You get on, you say you get on.
Yeah, yeah.
But you stopped somewhere before.
The next week, I went to do improv.
Okay.
So here's the thing with me. Improv? And to this day, I'm 10 times better at improv than I am at stand-up.
Okay.
But I don't want to... I can't develop the same platform that I want to with improv that I could with stand-up.
Yeah.
I operate very well.
But you can improv on stage when you're a comedian.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Absolutely.
You do that? You talk with the crowd?
That is what saves me.
Ah.
So, if something is not going well... shitty bars? I've done shitty bars.
Let's talk up. No. You can say shit, piss, the dick. It's not the point. My point is, when you ask me to say the N word, I would prefer you say the N words than ask me. I said no.
Absolutely.
This is my point. Yes, but you can say anything you want.
I'm super respectful.
You know?
Yeah.
No. I know that. But did you go back in the jazz? The black bar and kill.
Not yet.
But is it in your calendar?
Absolutely.
Eh?
Because I've learned.
You're proud, you know.
No. I've learned things now.
Yeah.
So like that happened almost 2 years ago.
Okay.
I've learned so many things in between that same thing that I talked about.
Yeah.
Like, so I have that flexibility now.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, I have that flexibility. Yeah. It didn't scar me. It didn't scare me. Absolutely. Like, so any opportunity now, you could any challenge, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Because now more than ever, I have a mentality of if I haven't done it before, this is going to go as an experience of something that I've done.
Yeah.
So set me up. They haven't laughed once. They're a terrible crowd. Blah blah blah. You're going to hate it. Okay. Sign me up.
Oh, me too.
And give it to me.
Exactly.
Because I'm not in it for, I'm going to make them like me. Nope. I'm going to let's see what happens.
Exactly. It's why I love to do a different kind of room.
That's why I'm here right now.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm in Canada because it's different.
Oh, it's very, hey, man, I realized my dream. Okay, I learned English 7 years ago.
Yeah.
I moved to Los Angeles and I headlined everywhere. I remember I went to the Cobb San Francisco. Okay?
Yeah.
You know, the Cobb is a great club.
Yeah.
They have a metallic door. Like when you go to the Bell Center,
really?
See a hockey game?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You have to go there. If it beep, beep, the tie, the, it's true. And after that, a guy do that with another beep, one. Beep, beep. Man, it was like, what? Where I am?
Where are you?
Where I am? I will never ever do comedy anymore if I live in San Francisco. Because yeah. It's comedy. Why you said to the people, maybe somebody have maybe a gun and they're gonna kill a comedian, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you don't. Why?
Hey, no, no. Yeah. Sacramento was the same thing. The Sacramento, the punchline.
Oh, I heard I heard Sacramento.
Man, I was scared. The headliner. I said, okay, nobody have gun now?
Here's the funny thing. Chris Rock said it. Don't go to places that have metal detectors because the people with guns are waiting for you when you get out. Because they know you ain't got one.
Exactly my point.
Come on.
Man, you're amazing.
This is beautiful.
Last question.
I'm ready.
I know you don't. You're from Detroit and the Tigers suck, but you think the Expo are back in Montreal.
I heard. Are they?
They talk about that seriously.
Really?
Yes. Yes, man.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, Montreal.
Do you love the
Montreal Expo?
Look at that. Eh?
Look, I
you think you believe in that?
I grew
you
up.
You think we deserve it?
I absolutely do. What? Why stop there?
Yeah.
Let's get you a basketball team.
I know.
You know, because like it. What was it? Yeah, it was just the Expos, right?
So do you think they're gonna? I know you don't know a lot, but
I don't know too much,
do you think it could be great if the Expo coming back?
Absolutely.
Because you're enough old to remember they exist.
I remember.
What I mean?
Like, it has to happen if you want your city to thrive. If you want your city to thrive, so like if you look at the New Yorks and the Chicagos, if you want your city to be like that. It also takes this kind of cookie cut, and it's going to be controversial because where's the money coming from?
Who's going to build
the stadium? All these different things, but it's complex enough that the people that enjoy the sports will come out to it.
Exactly.
And it'll increase revenue.
Yeah.
It's going to be headache here. It's going to be headache there. But just dealing with that makes you a dynamic city.
Exactly. Do you think the Montreal Canadiens is going to make the playoff this year?
And that's probably hockey,
I
right?
I know they're... Yes. Are you kidding when you say that?
Well,
Is that
sacrilegious to say...
Curling.
Curling.
Is it curling? you're not I would say Red Sox. You know, it's Red Sox. Red Wings.
So...
You don't like hockey. Watch hockey.
I don't watch hockey.
Okay.
Because I will never say I don't.
But just
like
for
the
fun,
sport.
Just for fun, for my concept. Do you think the Montreal Canadiens is going to make the playoff this year?
I absolutely have no clue.
I said no.
You say no.
Fuck them.
Now, all right. Question for you. Why won't they make it?
Because they are not a good team. So I think. So basketball is your favorite sport?
Yes.
Which team you love? Favorite sport team of all time?
Ah, God, this is gonna hurt.
The Pistons?
Golden State Warriors.
Not the Pistons.
Golden State Warriors.
So you don't like your own team?
I don't.
Whoa!
But it's because my love for basketball has now evolved to me thinking Steph Curry is the best basketball player.
Oh, yeah.
Because the jump shot opens up so many doors.
Yeah. Okay, they change the game.
It changes the game. You can have
it's 3 points. Listen, why do they think
you can have a guy that can go to the hole and dunk it like blah?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You know what he can't do every time? He can't go to the hole and dunk it like blah. But you know what you can do if you leave Steph Curry open?
You win.
Even if you leave him open, you put a hand directly in his face.
Yeah.
Even if he just takes a couple of steps in front of half court and pulls up.
Yeah.
And he can dribble.
Man. What a great pleasure, man, that you give me first before people saw that. This is a great human being. Okay, the story. Wow, we could do another hour because we just go to the timeline. You know.
Yeah.
But you're gonna come back anyway. Absolutely. And I want to say thank you so much to take your talent and bring your talent in Montreal. For me, you're a Montrealer. You're the part of the reason why Montreal succeeds in comedy. I hope you're going to talk with other comics in Detroit and say, let's go here. You know what I mean?
There's going I will say this now. There will be a Detroit invasion of comedy very, very soon.
Listen, let's go outside. Yep. I'm going to show you how to cry because you need to cry. Come on, Bodley.